Welcome back to the Oscar Rewind podcast. We're here to discuss two more films for the 1945 Oscar Best Picture nominated year. I'm your host, Quentin Philipson, and with me is my co-host, who is a much better American than the president, Woodrow Wilson, Andrea Tennis. How are you doing this week?
Well, thank you very much. I am doing well. I have been doing a ton of schoolwork that never seems to go away. Tons of presentations, so much stuff. My head wants to explode. Other than that, I have nothing else going on.
Other than your head exploding, that's good.
Yeah, basically.
I love how last podcast on the Oscar Rewind, I was talking about how I wish streaming services would have older films so we could watch them much easier, accessible way. And now this podcast, I'm pleased to say that I have discovered a thing called the library, where I can now rent movies from older decades. So this has been a great week for me, or I guess a great 2 weeks since we last recorded, because I now have the library to watch tons of old films from. I got a whole pile to the left of me with all these old films that I have now rented. It's been a great week.
Yeah, he has way too many films. How many did you put on order? Like 25 or something?
Andrea, please. You're trying to over-exaggerate. Only 22.
Oh my. Only 22? Because, you know, we have all the time in the world to watch these movies.
Well, I do. I don't know about you, Andrea, or anyone else that has school. I don't even know what that is anymore. I got work and I got movies.
Well, I can't argue with that, I guess.
That's right. Can't argue with the facts. So it's been a great week for me, and it's been a great week for us. We got to watch two amazing films from this 1945 Oscars. We watched Gaslight and Since You Went Away 2 weeks ago, and we discussed it last episode. And here we are to discuss the other two losers of the nominated list, Double Indemnity and Wilson, before we move on to the Best Picture winner. So, Andrea, we are now just watched all the non-winners here so far. What were your thoughts on these two films, Double Indemnity and Wilson? You haven't seen or heard of either, right?
No, I'd never heard or seen of either of them. And Double Indemnity, it's pretty good. It was middle of the road for me. I know it is in the top 1,000 movie list Quentin does.
It's in the top 40 of that list.
Oh, sorry. It's in the top 40 of that list specifically. But it was just, like I said, it was okay for me. And then Wilson was, oh my God, terrible. Take a gun and please shoot me in the head.
Whoa.
It was really bad. So yeah, they were quite polar opposites.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get shot in the head for Wilson, but it was pretty bad. And I was definitely higher on Double Indemnity than you were. I really liked it. I've seen this film before, actually, when I had the film class in university. This is one of the films we watched. And I actually think on a rewatch it was a lot more enjoyable. Maybe because I've seen a lot more older films and a lot more of the style. I was more acquainted with it. Back then, all I watched was Marvel and stupid 2000 comedies. So I think I'm more accustomed to films like this now. So I really loved it. I really liked it. It's hard for me to pick a favorite between Gaslight and this. I thought they were both great. And it just means Gaslight is very underappreciated. That's not in the top 1,000 films of all time, or at least the list that I go by. So that's a very underrated film, because I think they're very on par. I love them both.
That's very sad, because for me, Gaslight is way above Double Indemnity.
Like, that's fair.
I don't know. I just thought there was more spunk in Gaslight, I guess.
More spunk.
I like it. More mystery. More how do you put these pieces together, where Double Indemnity just kind of gives you the story from the get-go.
Yeah, so obviously we'll move right on to that, because that's the first film we watched here. Double Indemnity, I have much more difficult time pronouncing it than you do. But that film was nominated for Lead Actress. It lost to Gaslight.
That is 100% complete fair.
Yeah, but a
100% fair, sorry. Well,
but a good nomination. I think it's she was great. I love her as the villain of this film. We also got a nominee here for Black and White Cinematography, Directing, Score, Sound Recording, and Adapted Screenplay. So we got a lot of the big nominees here. Obviously, also was nominated for Best Picture. It didn't get a single win, though. We don't have any wins here for Double Indemnity, so it kind of walked away with nothing under its belt. Even Laura, the film that I brought up last week that wasn't nominated for Best Picture, even that walked away with a cinematography win. This one didn't get any.
My heavens.
My heavens, how will we ever survive? A film that is in the top 40 films of all time, according to some lists, doesn't get a single win here. Now, the film does very abruptly tell you what's going to happen in the very first few minutes of the film. It does a lot of flashback and flash forward where he's doing his confession while we watch the film. It's as if we're watching the confession. It's all taking place as the lead character is confessing to the murders. And I liked it. I liked the pacing of it. I understand where Andrew's coming from, where maybe have a bit more mystery to what's happening. For example, since he's doing the confession, we knew near the end with the showdown between the two leads, he wasn't going to die in that moment. But I still really liked the film. I thought there was still enough mystery there where we didn't realize she was going to shoot him first. And that's why he's doing the confession, because he's having his last moments. He's dying. We don't see the blood in his confession until the end. So I felt like we didn't realize he was actually dying. We thought he was just confessing because he felt guilty, which he does, but he's only confessing because it's his last moments and he kind of wants everyone to realize what happened. So I thought there's still some mystery.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that was what I thought the biggest flaw of the movie was, is I didn't like that. From the very beginning, you knew what was going to happen. They had already laid it out in black and white for you, and you were just there to listen to the details of the story of what exactly happened. But, you know, I guess I did like the very end where, yeah, you don't realize he's going to die. You don't realize anything's going to happen, and that's the whole purpose of him just telling his story, because he knows he might not even have time to tell it to someone before he dies.
Exactly. He kind of wants to let his buddy Keys know, hey, you were right. You were onto this woman. Here's what happened. So I thought it was great. And I like how you said that they laid it out black and white. But every film this year, except for Wilson, they laid out in black and white.
Santa Claus needed to laugh there. Sorry.
What?
Because I did ho, ho, ho.
Even though this only gets one acting nomination, here I thought the three main characters, Walter, Phyllis, and then Keys, probably some of the best parts of the film. I thought all three of them were great. I'm shocked this only gets one nomination here. I think it should also have been nominated for lead actor and supporting actor, because I thought all three were great. And even like the minor characters like Mr. Jackson, I thought he was hilarious for his little scenes. I just loved the acting for this film. I think it's its strongest part. Even though the two films we discussed last podcast got all the acting nominations, I felt like this film should have as well.
Yeah, you know, like, I am kind of surprised that you're saying they didn't get that many nominations and they're still in your top thousands list sitting around the 40s. Like, that kind of shocks me a little. And I've also come to realize I feel like I am always going to be a fan of, like, the weird, funny side characters. I think that Keys should have definitely got some kind of award for his acting in this. He was just such a weird guy, and he was always, like, onto something. I don't think anyone could really be that smart, but what do I know? I'm not Keys.
That's true. You're not Keys. But too bad. I would have loved to date Keys. That guy's great.
Hot.
Yeah. I loved Keyes, and he's definitely the hero of the film. He's not the protagonist. He's kind of the antagonist, because he's the one trying to figure out our hero and realize what he did. And I can't obviously speak to this because I haven't seen every film from the 1920s to 1940s, but it might just be me. But I feel like this might be one of the first films that has the bad guys as the protagonists. We see the viewpoint of the male that is the murderer. He's the one that is doing all these horrible things. And he's still the hero. He's still the one that we're watching his viewpoint from, the detective, the hero of the film, the people from Gaslight, the people we're rooting for. Keyes is kind of the antagonist. He's the one that's trying to outsmart our viewpoints of the film. And I feel like that's why this film gets a lot of praise, especially nowadays. A lot of people, like, this is considered one of the best films ever made, classic 1940s film. And I feel like it might be because the viewpoint is in the bad guy's point of view. Like, we're kind of rooting for Phyllis and Walter, even though they're both very horrible people that we see throughout this film. But especially Walter, we still get all these human moments. We still get this understanding that he's doing this out of blind love. Still a bad guy, but we root for the guy, even though Keyes is clearly the hero here.
Yeah, you know, I did see myself rooting for Walter quite a bit, actually. He doesn't come off as a bad guy, but he's definitely doing bad things for the woman that he loves. And I think that's what kind of gets you involved in the storyline.
Yeah, I think it's great how clearly Keyes is the hero here. And you feel bad when he's trying to piece all this stuff together and he's openly piecing it together with Walter. You're like, you shouldn't be doing this. Walter's the bad guy. Like, you still feel bad for Keyes, but at the same time, you want to see Walter succeed, because he isn't doing this in some horrible way, right?
No, exactly. And especially at the end, when he realizes the whole time she's been using him, then you really feel bad for the guy. And you want him to make it out of the situation without getting his hands dirty.
Exactly. So the film is Walter. Obviously, he is an insurance broker, so he's going house to house to sell insurance for people. He is trying to sell insurance to the husband of Phyllis, and he wants nothing to do with it. Phyllis then has him kind of trick her own husband into signing an accident insurance. So if her husband ever coincidentally dies by an accident, she'll get money from it to make up for it. And of course, all this then happens where he falls in love with her. She, quote unquote, falls in love with him. It's this love at first sight moment where he gets him to sign the clause. He then helps her create a fake accident by a train, because a train is so unlikely to have somebody die that it has a double indemnity clause where she would get twice the money for an accident like that to occur. So that's where they end up having him die. And it works out flawlessly. It's a very well intricate plan that is very well thought out. And at the end of the day, Keyes starts piecing stuff together. Something doesn't feel right. The husband injures himself, and he kind of realizes, why didn't he sign up for the clause then? Why didn't he ask for some money then? Because that also counts as an accident. And so he starts thinking things through, starts piecing it together, and that's when he starts to realize what's going on. Moments before, the two, Walter and Phyllis, kind of come at odds together. Walter finds out that Phyllis also murdered the wife of the husband, because she was the maid, and that's how she kind of, or she was the nurse, and that's how she worked her way into this relationship. And she was planning on murdering the daughter and eventually Walter. She was going to kill everybody off so she can just walk away with all the money and with no bad blood. And so that's kind of how we end this film, where the two of them are at odds with each other. He ends up having to murder her, and then he dies with his last breath telling Keyes that he was right. So that's kind of how this film goes. So I think it's great. I think Phyllis is a horrible human being, clearly, but a really great villain. I feel like she's so much fun to watch on TV. Like, she is just so good at just manipulating these men. Like, I forgot all about these other murders. I obviously, coming into this film, I knew, okay, the husband dies. Her and the guy are all part of this. I totally forgot that she murders the wife and she was going to go after the daughter and Walter. Like, this woman had, like, a plan.
Yeah, she had a huge plan. And I knew she was evil from the get-go, but you really don't realize until that moment where she's talking about how she wants to off them all, how literally hateful this lady is.
Yeah. And watching this film, something that seems very odd to me, and I don't know if it feels odd to Andrea, but indemnity clause would give her 50 grand if he dies from an accident. And if it's, and then the double indemnity would obviously be double that if it's from some outlandish way, including a train, which would be 100,000. And to me, I'm thinking 100,000, that is not a lot for someone's life, right? Like, that's nothing. But obviously this is 1944, and I entered the numbers here where I went to see what the conversion would be for that time period. Do you know how much money that's actually worth now?
How much?
In 2020.
How much?
Yeah, how much is this, Quentin? It's like a game show. $1.5 million.
Wow, that would be a shit ton of money. Wow.
Yeah, so that's actually a lot more. Yeah, quite a boost. So, you know, not saying she's in the right here, but I can see murdering someone for $1.5 million. Yeah, that's a pretty good check.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Dang. So yeah, she walked away with a lot of money here, or at least tried. Did not work out for her, which, you know, that's good. I guess Key's really, you know, the true hero of the film, walked away as the only person that survived this murder fest of this film. So what was your favorite part from this film, Andrea? I know you're not super high on it. Do you have at least a favorite?
I think mine would be the ending. When you realize that, you know, he has been shot, and the whole basis of him actually telling the story to the recorder so Keys can listen to it. But then the janitor saw Walter come in and getting blood everywhere, so he calls Keys, and then Keys just kind of busts in on him. I like that moment. And then he thought he was going to get away. He thought he was going to run to the border. But, like, he's, like, shot. Like, back in 1945, I don't really know what the procedure would have been to get a bullet out of you, but I feel like it probably wouldn't have been that good.
Yeah, probably not as effective as 2020.
Yeah.
Especially since you say you want to shoot yourself in the head after watching Wilson. I'm sure you would have been fine here in 2020, but 1945, that would have killed you.
Definitely would have died on the spot.
Yeah. So I think for me, my favorite scene would have to be when Keys starts piecing it together. He starts realizing what's going on, and Phyllis calls Walter and tells him she's going to come over to his apartment to see him because she just loves him so much. And then he gets a knock on the door thinking it's her, and it's Keys. He's there to start piecing stuff together with him. He starts to realize what's going on. And the score is so great. It's so intense. As he's talking things through, you know at any moment Phyllis is going to come through that door. And you're like, is he going to figure this out right now? Obviously, before she opens the door, she hears Keys talking. So she hides in the hallway. And the door opens. Keys walking out. She's on the other side of the door. I think it's just a very dramatic scene and very exciting.
I forgot about that scene. Yeah, that was a good scene where you think that she's gonna get caught.
Yeah, and then also the subtlety of it where she has her hand on the door, so when he's about to close the door, she like tugs on it to let him know that she's right there, like keep the door open. Like, very little subtle moments throughout the scene. I love it. It's a very fun scene. The score is great, so I'm glad I got nominated. Which film won for score? I don't know, but it should have been this one. I actually think this is a very solid score. Probably my favorite. Oh, Since You Went Away. That's that one score. That's the only award it won. Forgot about that. Yeah. I think this one's better, but that one's okay. I actually don't mind that. So, no wins here. I thought the score was great. I thought the screenplay was great. I actually really love the script. I think it's very smart. I think the foreshadow and the forward thinking, I think the pacing All of it's great. We kind of complained about the pacing of Gaslight for the first 20 minutes. I don't have any complaints with the pacing for this. I think it's very well intricate. You kind of get why he loves her at the beginning. So, like, they spent a lot of time with that.
I was just going to say, I feel like it is kind of weird, actually, in the beginning, because it's, like, love at first sight. Like, literally, like, right away he falls in love with this lady. Unless, I don't know, there's more of a background that we didn't see. That was the only issue I had with the pacing. Other than that, it was pretty good.
Well, since we never get her viewpoint, we never understood why she fell in love with him so quickly. Obviously, the end, we find out, oh, she didn't.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's just using him. And that's why we don't see her viewpoint of this. Because we never understand why she loving this guy so quickly. But for him, he was saying that he just couldn't stop thinking of the smell of her. He loved her perfume. He just kept thinking about her when he left. And we kind of understood he just grew this obsession with her. He just quickly just thought this woman was so beautiful. Me and you didn't think she was that great looking.
No.
But we understood this guy, he just was so infatuated with her. And since we got to hear his narration, because he's confessing, we understood very clearly on, at least I did, that he just was obsessed with her. He heard the smell of her, the thought of her. He just couldn't get her out of his mind. And it does seem very fast, but because of the narration, we just understood he was obsessed with her. He just loved her. So we never understood her viewpoint, but that's obviously because she never actually loved him.
Yeah.
This was all a ploy. So I thought the pacing worked out really well for me. It was very fast with the love of it all, but I also thought the narration kind of helped. For once, narration kind of worked, I guess.
A little bit.
Yeah, so I have no issue with Double Indemnity. I loved it. We'll get to the score when we wrap them both up, but I guess we can move on to Wilson here.
Woo!
Hold on. What was your least favorite part with Double Indemnity?
That is a very good question.
Yeah, tell us, why don't you like this film?
Okay, so I've already said it before, I don't really like how they set it up from the get-go. I don't like the fact that we already knew what was going to happen for the most part. And that really kind of bothered me. I like more mysterious. I wish I would have been more mysterious. Because, I don't know, in my head I was kind of like guessing everything that was going to happen around every turn.
Yeah. It is very, because the pacing's so good and because it's so well laid out, it's very predictable, the story.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking
for. Yeah, so we know that the husband's going to die. We know that he is going to at least not die from Phyllis immediately. We knew that he was going to live long enough to tell the story because of his confession. So we do know certain things. And I agree, that's probably the bigger issue here. Because of how the story's told, I don't have too much of an issue with it. I really don't hate anything about this film. Similar to Gaslight, there's things that I loved about it, but overall, there's really nothing that I hate. I think overall, it's a very solid film. So I'm going to say I don't really hate anything, but I agree. This is not a mystery film. This is a different film to Gaslight, to the extent where Gaslight, we didn't know if this woman was crazy. Double Indemnity, we pretty much know everything. It's laid out for us. It's laid out for this beautiful buffet, and we can just pick apart the stuff we love and just enjoy it for what it is. But there's no mystery to it. There's no mystery curtain number one of a twist that's going to happen, which film noirs do tend to have. Gaslight had, and it was great. Yeah, this one's very much just here's the story, just enjoy it kind of thing. So I agree. Definitely not as mysterious, which I know Andrea loves. She loves mysteries.
That's right. It's my fave.
Right. So I guess we can move on to the second film here. The greatest mystery of this year, Wilson. And the mystery is, why was this nominated for Best Picture?
I literally don't know. I could not answer that question because this has literally been the worst one we have watched. By far, down the hill. Like I said, I'd rather shoot myself in the head again than have to watch it again. It was just that disgusting.
Disgusting, whoa.
I'm sorry, maybe that's not the right word.
Disappointing?
Disappointing,
okay.
Sad, boring, etc.
All right, so with that, we'll move on to the nominations here, because I do think they're quite comical. And this film was nominated for lead actor, for directing, for score, for special effects, and for best picture, obviously. It was also nominated for and won art direction for a colored film, cinematography for a colored film, film editing, sound recording, and original screenplay. So this film won 5 Oscars.
That is so comical, because I, maybe with the exception of like best colored picture, because like they did have some nice scenes. Other than that, yeah, none of that is correct. They were all on drugs or drunk at night when they did this. They just liked the name Wilson, so they're like, let's vote for that.
They just liked the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The Oscar voters looked at the ballot and were like, I have a nephew named Wilson. That's a pretty solid name for a film. Alrighty, I guess I'll vote for that.
Or they went into Future and saw Castaway, and then they're like, Wilson! Yeah. That's what I always thought of.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they're like, I don't have a nephew named Double Indemnity or Gaslight.
Who wants that?
My nephew's name is Wilson. Obviously, yeah. I'm going to vote for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you here, and I have the exact same points. Art direction and cinematography for a colored film. I get those two wins, mostly because if you look at all the nominated films, especially for the best picture, this is the only film of the 5 that's in color. The other 4 that we're watching are black and white. Obviously, there's a few films from that year that are also in color. For example, Meet Me in St. Louis. We just started watching that one. That one's in color. Like, there's films from that year that are in color, but of all the nominated films, this is the only one. So if this is the only film that the Oscar voters really liked, by default, it's going to get these 2 awards.
Right.
So do I agree with these 2 awards? Fine, I guess, because by default, I guess it has to get them if this is the only film that was loved by the Academy that's in color. But for the other 3, I don't get it. I don't get why it won these ones, especially for screenplay and editing. It won editing. That's my biggest pet peeve. Editing. It won. This film was edited horribly. It's 2.5 hours, and it is the single, I can't stress this enough, the single most boring film I might have seen in years.
Yeah.
It's not atrociously bad. There wasn't a scene where I just thought to myself, wow, that scene was edited horribly, or that scene was acted poorly. I don't have much criticism for the film, but it is so painfully boring. I was struggling to watch each scene.
Same. I would have rather have just shut it off and went to bed. Like, was it Churchill did when he watched it? What was that fun fact they learned about this film?
Yeah, apparently Churchill just stood up and just left halfway through the film to make a point.
It was that bad. I mean, nothing can redeem this film.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't even making a point. I'm sure Churchill was just like, fuck it, I'd rather watch Gaslight again.
For the 50th time.
Yeah, Churchill was a big Gaslight fan, you can tell.
I could definitely tell, I'm sure he was.
Yeah, he loved Ingrid. He was one of the voters for it. He was like, yeah, Ingrid.
She's hot. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Anyway, so this film was just too bland. It was too bland. It was so long, like you said. The editing was god-awful. I don't know how I won that.
I think the screenplay was pretty bad, too. There were moments where I was kind of like, wow, this is pretty weak screenplay. And not only was it nominated, but it won screenplay. I don't know. It's similar to the colored films, though. A lot of these other films that we were watching are adapted screenplays, and this one's an original. So I don't know how many original screenplays there are out there, but maybe it kind of won by default for the same extent.
I would think this would also kind of be an Oscar baity film, because it was based on the life of Woodrow Wilson, U.S. president, kind of just like his. It's basically like a bibliography of his life.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I thought this was going to be a film about World War I, since he was involved in World War I, and this, obviously, as we discussed last episode, this Oscar year takes place during World War II. So I thought, okay, maybe during the time period of this film, it's going to be about World War I and how Wilson conquered through that and he was an inspiration during the war. And because of all this positive messaging about Wilson and how great America was during World War I, it'd be like a pat on the back during these times. I thought, okay, everyone in the middle of World War II, they probably need some inspiration from the first war. And I thought, okay, the time period, this might be perfect for the film. That's why it won all these awards. But this film, for a 2.5 hour film, it spends about 10 minutes on the war. Like, it's very minor. It is not a story about the war. It's obviously, because of the title, very clearly about the story of Woodrow Wilson and his life, which is fine. But I thought that's why I was going to get all these nominations and wins, was because of the time period. But no, they just really liked this guy. I guess the Academy was like, yeah, my boy Wilson, Woodrow.
Big fans.
Yeah, I'm not American, Andrea, so maybe she can attest to this, but maybe Wilson's just a beloved president.
He really is, yeah. Actually, no. Like, that's why I also thought it was funny, because he's not one of those presidents that really sticks out to you in any way. Like, Teddy Roosevelt or JFK, he's just Woodrow Wilson. I mean, heck, Taft sticks out more than him. So, I don't know. I cannot fathom why they decided to make a movie about him.
Yeah, the only award that I can agree with is a lead actor nomination. I agree, the lead actor, 2.5 hours pretending to be a president. I don't know Woodrow Wilson personally, but I thought he did a pretty good job representing him. He looked a lot like him. I thought his acting was pretty strong. It didn't deserve the win, but it did deserve the nomination. And that's probably the only nomination it should have gotten.
Yeah. Like, we even pulled up a picture of him and I was like, wow, look how similar the actor actually looks to actual Woodrow Wilson. I was like, that's pretty crazy. And he was good. And I did appreciate the actor's, like, sense of humor. He was literally the only lighthearted part of this film. Like, he would try to drop little jokes. And he made those moments bearable to watch, at least.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty solid, to be honest. And I also get the nomination for special effects, because 1944 does not have the most special effects, obviously because of its time, but they did have the president age pretty well during the film. Throughout, he's slowly aging because it's his whole life that we're watching. We watch him until he's this old man at the end. So I thought the special effects, he did look like he was aging throughout the film, and that's pretty impressive. So, a good nomination. I'm actually surprised it didn't win that one. Of all the nominations, it didn't get special effects, because it seemed pretty good. But I thought, to be fair, most of it's makeup. But I do think the special effects, to an extent, was pretty good.
It was, yeah. I didn't notice it as much as Quentin, but apparently at one point when I was doing homework and not super paying attention, he made a comment on him aging,
yeah,
but by the end, you could definitely tell he was an old man than from the start.
Yeah, I thought the aging was pretty well. It was used pretty well, especially for the times. If you told me that they were using Asian technology back in 1944, I'd assume it would be garbage, but no, it was actually pretty good. So good nomination for that one. All the ones at one, I do not get. And even directing. I don't understand directing at all. I can't believe it got a directing nomination. And Gaslight didn't.
That's what I was about to say. The director of Gaslight was pissed.
Yeah. Double Indemnity got a directing, which it should. The directing's great. I know you don't like the flash forwarding and everything, but it's so clean and it's so well done. And back in those times, very few films use flashbacks. Flashback is not a modern is not a common thing in these films. It's very linear of here's the start, similar to Wilson, here's the start of this man. We're going to watch it play out in chronological order. Flashbacks is very rare. That's what Citizen Kane was known for. It's the first film to use a flashback.
That's an interesting fact.
And that film came out 3 years before this one. So it's still very early on with the flashback. And so even Citizen Kane was the first to do it, but I would say this one did it more flawlessly. It just streamed so well because the narration would then blend into what's going on. And so the directing is great. I love the directing in Double Indemnity. I would say it should have won, but we haven't seen the winner yet. The winner's in 2 weeks. We'll watch the winner for directing. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. But really great directing for Double Indemnity here. And before we compare the two, which I've already started, what was your favorite part about Wilson? Can you say something you liked about this film?
I feel like I already have. The best part to me was just his sense of humor. I did think he was a funny character. Other than that, there's not much more I can say. I mean, it's really hard to pick like anything better out of this film.
Yeah, for me, it's going to sound like I'm a Debbie Downer here, but the best part of this film has to be things that I kind of liked. Because there's nothing I actually loved. So I kind of liked the use of aging a bit. I kind of liked the art direction. Some of the sets were pretty, especially the blue room. That was nice to an extent. And the lead actor, I liked him to an extent. He was great. He deserved the nomination. Like, that's the best I can say. This is 2.5 hours. I thought Since You Went Away was a drag. Like, that film is 3 hours. This one's even a little bit shorter, but this one felt like it was twice the length.
I would rather watch Since You Went Away again than ever have to watch Wilson.
I would definitely watch Since You Went Away again over this. Yeah. That's no question. I would not watch
100%.
This again.
100%. The acting was at least really good in that.
Yeah. And I liked some scenes from that one. Like, there were scenes that I could still point to and say, that was really good. There's not a scene in this film that I liked. There was just like, I liked the actor. I liked some of the sets. That's about it. There's not a scene that I enjoyed. So this could go on forever, but let's just say our least favorite scene. We don't need to say all the stuff we didn't like. Well, what was your least favorite part of Wilson?
I just didn't like the part where like his first wife dies and then this man moves on so fast to this new woman. I think they said it was within a year of his wife passing. And obviously, you guys probably haven't seen the film, but she's a lot younger than him. Like, even when he's really old, she still looks really, like, really young. Like, there's, I don't know, probably 25-year age difference. So, I don't know. That was just my favorite part, just the fact that I felt like he moved on really fast. Like, I was assuming it'd be, like, 2 or 3 years down the road after his wife's passing. No, it's within the first year that he decides to remarry. It was super fast. Like, them deciding to get married and everything. And then the public talking about how, like, if he gets married again, it will, like, ruin his reputation. But they get married anyway. So, I don't know. Something in that whole storyline probably was my least favorite.
Mine's pretty similar to yours, but mine's a little more specific. And that is his first wife dying. That scene, you can tell it was written by a bunch of white men, because you can tell that this screenplay, which it won, by the way, let's just bring that back up when I talk about this. This is a winning Oscar-winning screenplay when the wife is laying in bed and is telling her children, the best part of my life was I got to be in the presence of Wilson. I got to just being in a room with this man. He's so great. I love being in the presence of a man. Like, it's just such a cringy screenplay. That's her last words, where I gotta be in the presence of a guy. It's so great. I'm happy. She was like, I'm okay with dying because I gotta be in his presence. And that's more than anyone could ever ask for. Like, you could tell a bunch of white men were like, yeah, we love Wilson. And I bet you when his last wife was dying, she was like telling us how happy she was to be with Wilson, because that guy seems really solid. I'd have a beer with that guy. Like, you could tell a woman did not write this person's lines, because it's just so ridiculous. This is a winning screenplay, by the way.
Yeah, and like the other thing was, it was so predictable that she was gonna die too. I kind of forgot about that whole scene. She has a scene where she's lightheaded and they tell her to go sit down, and I pretty much called from that point on. I was like, oh, she's probably about to die. Like, I don't know, I just had a feeling. And then, like you said, you brought up the scene with like her telling her girls how her Woodrow was the best part of her life and she was okay with dying. Like, it was set up so weird. I don't know. It made me feel uncomfortable to watch almost. I was like, why?
Yeah, that was a horrible scene. My gosh. I was cringing so hard for that. I can't believe it. Winning screenplay. Great. So, speaking of screenplay, I've actually pretty much already said my viewpoint of this, but we'll kind of compare all the wins here. They were both, or well, all the nominations. Double Indemnity didn't get any wins, but we'll compare the nominations here. For screenplay, they were both nominated here. Which screenplay do you think was better?
Of course, Wilson.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Duh.
Did you know that she died, but she at least got to see his presence?
Whoa. No. I mean, honestly, Double Indemnity is so far ahead of Wilson. There's no competition. So Double Indemnity would definitely take the cake there.
I agree with you there. What about score? They were both nominated for score. Neither won. Which one did you think was better between the two?
I'd probably go with Double Indemnity because I don't really remember the score too much in Wilson.
I remember Wilson's score, actually. It's not very good. It's memorable. It's probably better than Gaslight, because Gaslight has that is probably the worst part, is the score's pretty weak. And that's why it wasn't nominated. But still, I think Wilson, of the three we have seen that were nominated, I thought Double Indemnity and Since You Went Away both had a better score. Wilson, during some scenes, it was very in your face. And I was kind of like, oh my god, you can tell they're like, we had a budget for a score. Like, it was not, like, you know, they're very weird about it. Double Indemnity is very sinister, very intense at times. I love the score for that film. So for me, definitely that one. So they were also both nominated. Wilson ends up winning for sound recording for both.
Wow.
So which one would be your favorite for that one?
Sound recording. I don't know. I don't really remember the sound recording from either. I maybe would think Wilson, maybe, because like it did have some more scenes where it was showing some airplanes and things flying.
That's fair.
I don't really remember. Like, I think Double Indemnity. Now I can't say the word. They had more like mysterious like action music in some parts, or maybe I'm getting it confused with Gaslight. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I'm still gonna go with Double Indemnity here. It uses it a lot less than Wilson, but I felt like it also fit a lot more naturally with the film, so I'd probably still go with that. This is probably one of Wilson, of the five we're gonna be discussing here, this is probably the closest for me. Really, Double Indemnity wasn't that great for sound, for sound recording. But what about directing? Obviously, I just went on a whole rant before we even discussed Wilson about the directing of Double Indemnity and how I thought should have won. But did you prefer the directing for Wilson?
No, it did not. I don't know. I did not think it was very good. Like, I just don't understand how it won all these awards. Yeah, this director is probably super proud of this piece, but, like, it was too long. There were a lot of boring parts where I literally, like, that's why I focused so well on my homework, because the movie was so boring.
And finally, cinematography. Which film do you think had the best cinematography for...
out of the two?
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be a toss-up, honestly. Wilson did have the color in it, which made it really nice. You could actually see how things were. And like you brought up, the room settings were really nice.
But the room settings would be more for art direction.
Oh, okay.
Cinematography would be the camera work.
I do love that this film was in color. That is one thing I will say. I'm not super keen on the black and white. Like, yes, I'll watch black and white movies, but color does make a world of difference for me.
Most of the time it works for me, the coloring. I prefer films with color, but I think for a film noir style, I think Gaslight and Double Indemnity, it really works, the black and white, because I kind of feel like the mystery style of film, I like the black and white. It makes it more like intense and more mysterious. I prefer that, but like for Since You Went Away, I feel like a film like that would have really benefited with color. So I feel like for non-film noir films, I think color would be really good. So, you know, I would have loved to see what Knives Out would look like in black and white. Like other modern mystery films, I think that they would look really good. Like, I know that there's a black and white version of Parasite. I haven't seen it.
Wow.
But there's a black and white version of it that people have watched, and apparently it's actually really good. Apparently, like, it just looks really good for that film. So I think some films would still look good in black and white.
It's kind of like, yeah, you'd be able to, like, the film's able to pull off the look, which, yeah, makes sense. And I think it would fit for more, like, mysterious themed movies.
Yeah, like, I think Gaslight and Double Indemnity work really well for the black and white. But exactly, Wilson would not have. This film does benefit with color. It would have been way worse, believe it or not.
Oh my god, I definitely would have like just stabbed myself in the heart if we had to watch it in black and white.
Okay, so in color you'd shoot yourself in the head, in black and white you'd stab yourself in the heart.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like shooting yourself in the head would be worse, so maybe you prefer black and white.
But it would be faster, I think.
That's true, yeah.
Because I could miss.
No. Okay, that's true. I guess end the pain here.
Yeah, over faster.
So for me, cinematography, once again, would still go for Double Indemnity. I thought there were some really good camera shots. And yeah, I just really liked some of the camera work they did for the film, especially in the final moments between Phyllis and Walter. I thought that final moment where she turns all the lights off and then he enters the door with the silhouette, I thought that whole scene was really great with the camera work. And so, yeah, probably give it to that. Don't have much love for Wilson. But out of these two films, Andrea, did both, either or none, deserve to be nominated for Best Picture?
I think one did deserve to be nominated and one didn't deserve.
The deserving one was Wilson, right?
Right. No. Double Indemnity definitely did deserve to be nominated. It was good. It told a good story. The plot was good. But Wilson, I honestly just think that the Oscar people must have been blinded by the color and decided to put that up there. Because I don't think it should have been nominated.
Yeah, I'm just convinced now that back in 1944, Wilson was just the hot shit. They had action figures of him, and they had posters of him, and they just loved this dude. They had the little Pez dispenser where you lift Wilson's head up and a little Pez candy comes out. Like, I think people just loved this dude, because I am baffled that he is this beloved. They got this many wins and nominations. So definitely for me, Double Indemnity for sure deserves Best Picture nomination. I really like the film. Wilson for sure doesn't deserve the nomination. I think of every film I've seen for this year so far, it was by far and above the worst. And I'm trying to watch a bunch of them right now. So it's shocking that this is just this beloved. So we are both on Letterboxd. You can follow me at Quentin Phillipson. You can follow Andrea at Andrea_SueLizardEmoji. That's your name, right?
I don't know if I have an underscore, but lizard emoji is all right.
Yeah, lizard emoji.
When you say it, I think it's funny.
And then on Letterboxd, you can rank films from a 0.5 star all the way to a 5 star. So,
oh, Andrea. It's only, by the way, it's only Andrea Lizard.
Andrea Lizard emoji. No underscore, no Sue, just Andrea Lizard. No. Perfect.
That Sue is my middle name. Okay.
So, 0.5 to a 5 star for these films. starting with Double Indemnity, which way are you leaning towards?
So, like I said, I wasn't the biggest fan, but, like, I didn't hate it. I did think it had some good points, and I would sit it in the average category, so I would probably go anywhere between a 3 and a 3.5. That's kind of where I would set it. I know you are going to be much higher, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be much higher here. I think it's a great film. I think it's one of the best of this year. I'm still torn between this and Gaslight. Last podcast, I gave Gaslight a 4. But if you actually follow me on Letterboxd, I bumped it up to a 4.5 when I did the review. Mostly because I just keep thinking about that film. I still think about scenes. I love it.
You can't stop thinking about it. There are just so many scenes, like, where she finds out, like, she isn't crazy and the gaslights really are just going down. There are so many scenes. I can still replay them in my head, too.
Yeah, it's great. You gave it a 4.5. I gave it a 4. But I changed my mind, and I'm with you. It's a 4.5.
Good call.
Double Indemnity, I feel the same. I'm torn between which one I love more. So I'm also going to give this one a 4.5. I think they're both really solid films. And for Wilson, I'll give it the first score here. I'm going to give it a 1. I'm not giving it a 1. I'm not giving it a 0.5 because 0.5, if you look at all my films that I review, those are atrocious films. They're just an absolute criminal to film. Like, it's just absolute trash. Wilson is just painfully boring.
Yeah.
The lead actor, he's solid. Like, he's good. Like, the film isn't bad. It's just so boring. I gave it a 1 because it's not criminally bad, but it is a very poor film. Boring.
You know, I'm sitting around the same with you there. When I actually do my review, it will either be half a star or a 1 star, depending probably on how I feel that day, because it was painfully boring. And like you said earlier, I do believe as well, it is the most boringest movie I have had to watch this entire year.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be the most boring film I've seen in quite some time. I'm trying to think of one that I've seen that was more boring, and it's very difficult. So you say it depends on the day, Andrea, so your review might change, but today, what are you feeling? Are you feeling half a star or 1 star? Which way are you leaning?
I'm feeling half a star, if you want me to be very honest with you and a little different from you. It was that bad, but you've kind of convinced me that maybe I should eventually give it a 1 just because, you know, it was 1945. They were learning to do different techniques then. The color was a big asset, and like I said, that was like one of the details I like the most, that maybe I would say, hey, they should have a chance for winning an award or whatnot. So,
yeah, but don't get me wrong. Half a star, honestly, is pretty deserving for this film. It's not that great. So I wouldn't hate you if you did that. I'm just trying to be a bit fair here for Wilson. I do think it's funny how last Oscar year we were discussing the 2011 Oscars, I was very upfront that Winterbone is the worst Best Picture nominated film ever, and already the next year of film we found one that's worse. I do think it's hilarious how I was so convinced that we just watched the worst nomination, and nope, already they have proven me wrong. Wilson, good job, you guys beat them, because yeah, definitely worse than Winter's Bone. So, there we have it. We are now 4/5 of the way there, already almost done. We got one film left to talk about, which is the Best Picture winner here. One of the films that's to my left that I got from the library, we'll be ready to watch it soon. I'm excited. Woo-hoo. I'm excited to watch another winner here. Will it be better or worse than King's Speech? Stay tuned to find out. Want to make the prediction now? Do you think it's going to be better or worse?
I think it's going to be worse, only because I'm a really big King's Speech fan. I really connected with that film. I'm hoping it's not terrible, though. I don't think I could sit through another Wilson.
No, I don't think it's going to be terrible. I do think it's going to be worse, but that's also just because I really liked King's Speech. I think this is going to be a perfectly mediocre winner. I expect to be upset that Double Indemnity and Gaslight lost to it. But I expect to be happy that at least among the 3 war films, quote-unquote war films, because Wilson was not, at least among these 3 films, they at least picked this one because I feel like this is going to be much better than the other two. Hopefully. We'll see. 100%. So, we'll see how we feel here. It's a musical. I like music.
I like music too.
Yeah. So, hold on. Yeah. I like musicals. I don't actually like music, but I like musicals. They're fun. They're joyful. I'm sure it'll be good. I'm excited to watch this. And until next week or next 2 weeks, I'm Quentin.
And I'm Andrea.
And have a great day, guys.
Bye.